in our society, we tend to think, well, advanced means this definition, you know, hold your breath for 2 minutes, do more rounds of a particular breath work, or whatever kind of baseline or goal we think that is, we've defined success by. But really, success is actually about being honest with your capacity and meeting yourself with where you're at, and then treating yourself the way that's going to be the most nourishing and beneficial to your nervous system.
Welcome to the Happiest Ever After podcast. That's right, happy-ish. Because instead of fairy tales of perfection, we celebrate real lives and real stories. I'm Tatiana, your host, and I'm here to guide you on your journey to better health and self-acceptance. Join me every week as we delve into science-backed truths about health, from understanding our bodies to caring for our emotional well-being. Let's get started.
So welcome to Happy-ish. I am so excited today to be, I know I say that all the time, I'm so excited, but I am truly excited. I've been waiting so long to have Harmony Slater on the podcast. And just before we start talking, I want to hop into a little bit about Harmony. First of all, Harmony's a national board certified health coach. She has trained in both quantum coaching and mastery coaching methods. She is also a certified Ashtanga yoga teacher. Is that the correct way to say it?
Yeah, Ashtanga.
Ashtanga. See, and she trained in Mysore, India. She went back and forth there. She spent 5 years living there, has spent 15 years working with them. And she's actually one of only 20 women in the world that holds this honor. She is amazing. If you haven't had a chance, I want you to pop on over after this episode and find her podcast, the Finding Harmony podcast. It's really a lot of fun. I love listening to Harmony talking. And she just brings such a wealth of information, and particularly in the sphere of yoga. She's been featured in 2 anthologies on yoga, pregnancy and motherhood. And that's, oh my gosh, Yoga Sadhana for Mothers. And this is me. Like, I practice, but I don't know a lot of the terms. So Harmony's going to correct me, because we're all on a learning journey. Is Sadhana?
Sadhana.
Sadhana. See?
Close.
I'm so grateful for this, though. Like I said, nothing is perfect. We're never here for perfection. We're always here to learn.
Yes.
Another one called Strength and Grace, a collection of essays by women of Ashtanga Yoga. And Harmony is also an active board member for the nonprofit organization Yoga Gives Back. One thing that I really cherish about Harmony is that she's also at the forefront and finding the most effective ways to integrate science-backed woo, is how she describes it. And so often we've been putting them in separate categories, and yet the science is there to show us that those things that have been intangible and that we couldn't understand actually have a foundation in evidence-based science for why it works. And being able to understand how we can help ourselves, understanding the underlying causes of certain disease, increasing spiritual wellness, and to be able to grow our consciousness in both ourselves and our businesses. Today, though, and I've just given all of this, and the one thing that I didn't talk about is the thing that she's here to talk about, and that's breath work. And when I first met Harmony in person, that was the thing that just blew me away. She did a short breathwork session with a group of women that I was a part of. And it was such an amazing experience that since that day, 2 years ago, I've been wanting to have her on the podcast. So welcome, Harmony.
Thank you, Tatiana. It's so nice to be here.
So first of all, would you like to tell us just a little bit about breathwork?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny because I think breathwork's become a very hot topic in the recent years, especially since COVID, when everyone was talking about how difficult it was to breathe and the benefits of conscious breathing and practicing breathwork. But I came to what I call breathwork now, but in Sanskrit, it's called pranayama. Many years ago, back in 2000, I was introduced to this idea of pranayama, breathing exercises, or learning to control your breath. by learning to control your breath. You know, in Sanskrit, prana is a word that means both breath, but also life energy. So something like qi in traditional Chinese medicine, or the force in Star Wars, you know, it's the thing that's in us that binds us. It's in all living things. And we take it in through our breath. And so the better we breathe, the more energy we have. And so the idea in pranayama is learning to control your breath. And by controlling your breath, you're controlling your life force. You're building up energy within yourself. So then you can use that energy in other ways throughout the day or in your life, or you can use it for spiritual purposes if that's sort of your focus. And I started learning from a pranayama guru, Sri O.P. Tiwari, back in 2004 and studied with him every year, where we would really focus on kind of the origin of all breath work practices and techniques, which is pranayama, and it comes from India. And it can be traced all the way back probably since yoga began. It's one of the branches of yoga. So we briefly mentioned the Ashtanga yoga in my bio. Ashtanga means eight, Ashta, and Anga means limbs. And so pranayama is one of these limbs. Asana, which everyone thinks is yoga these days, right? The moving your body and making postures and shapes, that's one of the limbs also. And then we also have, you know, there's eight of them. I won't get into all of them, but meditation is also one of the limbs. Learning to withdraw your senses is one of the limbs. So there's all of these things are actually incorporated in yoga, meditation, pranayama or breath work, and then also postures. And they're different aspects of the same holistic philosophy and way of life. And that's what yoga really is. It's not just an exercise program. It's actually an entire philosophy for living. And it includes all of these different aspects. So to truly practice yoga, you need to practice some form of breath control, some form of breath work or pranayama, as well as something for your body that involves, you know, maybe stretching, longer holds, something that's somatic, like a somatic practice where you're turning your attention inward and starting to feel the sensations in your body. And this is where the asanas become very helpful. And also, you need to have some type of meditation practice as well, where again, you're starting to turn your senses inward and pay attention to the more subtle sensations within your somatic body or the thoughts in your mind, starting to see that you are not your thoughts. All of these come from the tradition of yoga. And what we've done in recent years is we've put them in language that is maybe more palatable for the Western mind. And we're starting to use science to give these ancient practices that have a long, long, long history in India, and everyone uses them and knows about them and knows about their benefits. But we're trying to prove scientifically that they have benefits, which of course we are proving because they wouldn't have survived thousands of years if they didn't have benefits, right? So we're kind of going back in reverse to scientifically show the credibility of these ancient practices. But obviously, they're there for a reason and have been continued in use for so long because people experience such great benefits from them.
I feel like saying like a huge amen right there because that has just been such an issue for me, just because right now you don't have funding dollars going to research papers on the benefit of breathwork, except for that now there are funding dollars going into that because there's a recognition that that's a real scientific study. That prior to that, thousands of years of evidence in a particular cultural context, is that not demonstrating? I believe that you would say that that is demonstrating that there is a benefit.
Yeah,
totally. So anyway, thank you. Because another reason, like everybody's just going to hear me fawn over you because I absolutely adore you. I think you are brilliant. And whenever I hear you speak, I think, oh my gosh, that's exactly it. And that just resonated so deeply.
Thank you.
But getting back to the breath work, as you were talking about it, I became so conscious of my breath.
And that always happens. Whenever you talk about breathing, all of a sudden you're aware of, okay, what am I doing? How am I breathing?
Yeah. So if we've got listeners right now who are maybe doing their dishes or maybe out for a walk, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, now I feel like I'm breathing weird because I'm consciously thinking of it. So breathing is something that we do every day, though. Like, it is something that happens without conscious thought.
Yeah.
And so when you bring conscious thought to it, then is that automatically, like, what I'm using sort of the air quotes of breath work, is just actually being conscious of it? Or is there a pattern or something you should be doing to fall in this category of conscious breath work?
Yeah, great question. I think that's the first step. You know, awareness is the first step to changing anything. So first having that intentionality or that conscious awareness of your breath is definitely like step one in breath work, right? And there are some breath work practices out there that are really just about bringing conscious awareness to the way you're breathing. And that's kind of it, right? Observing your breath. And as soon as we start to observe our breath, something happens. We might start to deepen it. We might start to lengthen it. It starts to slow down because we're really drawing the mind into the moment, into how we're breathing. And that's really like the secret sauce, or like that, the secret key to breath work and to breathing, is that it's part of our physiological processes, right? It's part of our autonomic nervous system. And so like 99% of the day, maybe it's just happening unconsciously. Like, we're not thinking about breathing. We're just breathing, right? It would take up a lot of energy and time if we had to consciously think every time, inhale, okay, exhale, right?
It would make sleeping very difficult.
It would also make sleeping very difficult. Exactly. And so because it's one of these functions that's intimately tied to our nervous system, it is a part of our autonomic nervous system, but we can consciously control it when we choose to, right? I can say, slow down your breath. Take a really deep inhale right now. Pause, hold at the top. Okay, take a nice, long, slow exhale. Right? And so you can do that. You can automatically take control of your breath at any point, really, during the day. That means you can, because it's a feedback loop. As your nervous system is maybe getting a little bit more worked up, maybe you're having an anger response or a stress response, and you're moving in towards that fight or flight response, right? Your sympathetic nervous system, your breathing gets affected. So maybe you're breathing a little faster, a little more shallow. You could develop dysfunctional breathing patterns. If you're stuck in that stress response for too long, that's going to affect your health.
Do you mean like when something happens and you're hyperventilating?
Yeah, or just like even regular, you know, a normal breathing pattern is somewhere between 8 to 12 breaths per minute. But a lot of us breathe like 14 to 20 breaths per minute, which is considered dysfunctional. It means we're under a lot of stress all day long when you're breathing that quickly. And so you're not giving your body a chance to rest and relax. And so this kind of ties in a little bit with heart rate variability, which measures the space or the pause between heartbeats and your ability to also recover from stressful situations. So the more variability there is in your heart rate, the healthier you are, because it means when your heart speeds up, you can also slow it down quite quickly. And so your heart rate isn't actually beating at like a metronome pace or like the ticking of a clock. It sometimes beats faster. It sometimes beats slower. And you want to have that variation in your heart rate in order for health. When we're stuck in responses of chronic stress, which is not anything that I don't think really looks irregular in this day and age, right? It's having 50 emails in your inbox when you wake up in the morning. It's having a doctor's appointment scheduled or receiving bad news about your health, or it's having a sick child or aging parents, and it's having all of these things all together all at once.
Day after day.
Day after day, exactly. And what happens is we get stuck in fight or flight. Our nervous system, instead of only responding to acute stress or to something where we need to have an increased heart rate because we need to like run away from a tiger or find safety, it starts to perceive that we're in danger chronically all day long. And when we're not able to release that, we get kind of stuck there. And then we start to develop all kinds of issues. And that's where our breathing can change, right? So we might get stuck in a pattern of overbreathing or breathing too quickly or too shallow and not really expanding and deepening the breath, which allows our body to relax. And so the inhalation is related to our sympathetic nervous system. The exhalation, what do you do when you want to relax at the end of the day? You go,
yeah.
Right? I just want to relax. It's like taking a big exhale.
I wish everyone could just see you right now with a, like, just the whole physical, like the dropping of the shoulders, the just letting it out.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because when you say conscious breath, and at first I was like, oh, so it's sort of like that feeling when you're all of a sudden becoming conscious, you know, like when you were talking about it, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm really feeling how, but actually we can get into unconscious habits because it feels so normal to take frequent, shallow breaths that then that stress almost builds where it becomes the new habit of breathing, the new way that feels normal is actually reinforcing this sense of stress or the unconscious messages that we're telling our own body is, I am not in a safe place. And it's like you wake up in the morning, you breathe the way that you breathe, you don't even think about it, but there's actually an underlying hidden message that's going to your body saying, and I'm really not doing well right now, and I'm really stressed, and this is our normal state of being.
Yes, exactly. And then it becomes normal. And then
yeah.
Instead of like having your normal baseline, like at a zero, right? Which is neither positive nor negative, your new normal becomes like a plus five.
Mm.
But what happens is life usually doesn't get less stressful unless we're consciously doing something or having practices to de-stress, right? So there's lots of different ways we can de-stress and create positive changes in our nervous system to help us relax and come back to that zero baseline. But if plus five becomes our new baseline, we're just like a little bit stressed all the time, then our stress increases a little bit more. And now our new baseline's at plus 10, right? And now we're starting to experience a lot of problems like insomnia or all kinds of health conditions, you know, cardiovascular problems, because your heart is never able to relax, right? It's beating a little bit faster than it should be all the time.
I'm kind of wondering about like cortisol release.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to disrupt exactly your hormones, everything. Our body's always trying to find homeostasis. It's always trying to find balance and it's always trying to create that. But if we don't have practices like a conscious breathwork practice or pranayama or even like yoga, right? That's why all the doctors are like, you should do some yoga because you're having at least an hour a week, say, where you're breathing, you're moving, you're paying attention to the now. It becomes like a type of moving meditation in a way, right? So you're in a place where you're consciously trying to de-stress or relax. If we don't have these types of practices, it could be even swimming, or sometimes it could be running. Sometimes running's more stressful than less stressful, but for some people, it's good to like release that stress. There's a great book, I think it's by Robert Sapolsky, that says why zebras don't get ulcers. I think that's what it is. But why they don't is they're continually releasing stress, right? They're shaking or shimmering all the time, even though they're being chased down by, you know, tigers or lions or whoever all day long in the Sahara Desert. So they're constantly shimmering. They're constantly shaking to release stress. And you see your dogs do it. If you have dogs, you know, they experience something maybe slightly unpleasant, like brushing their teeth or trying to comb their hair or something. And what do? They get away from you and then they shake it off, right? Like Taylor Swift's song.
Oh, and that's so accurate. And so for example, oh my gosh, was it about a year ago? My youngest was in a car accident and she called me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand anything that she was saying. I understood that there'd been an accident.
Yeah.
And where she was. And she couldn't talk. She's young, was first time. It was a single vehicle accident because she got run out off the road. It was slippery. She tried to move out of somebody's way. She was trying to be polite and got stuck in the mud in the shoulder, spun her out. And just by chance, it just happened to be the one spot in the road where something could have gone sideways. She'd been 5 meters ahead, 5 meters behind. She would have been fine. Nope, she hit the one spot. And it was just one of those really unfortunate things. So anyway, the whole drive there, I put her on speakerphone and all I did with her was box breathing. Like just, I was counting so that she could breathe.
Yeah.
Now that was very hard because it took me 20 minutes to get to her and I'm counting.
Right.
But that really, like, it was still a traumatic experience. And I'm not saying that she was going into medical shock or anything, but she couldn't communicate. She couldn't ask for help. She was,
right.
This was the biggest thing that had happened in her life to this point. Mm-hmm. Right. Of like massive magnitude for her. And that was a real game changer. And I knew about it because I'd recently read an article. Like I've had an interest in learning more and more about breath work and the role that it could play. And I had just happened to have recently read about Marines and how they use box breathing and
this,
and the counting in, the holding, the counting out, the holding, and it's the cyclical. It was amazing. I couldn't even think of another thing that could have helped her in that moment. Because I couldn't help her. She had to have a tool to be able to help herself. And it wasn't like she felt great after, but so that she could at least just function. Because she had no cognitive abilities at that point. She was so distraught. Yeah. She couldn't communicate. I couldn't understand what was happening because she couldn't. Anything. Yes. Everything was shut down.
Yeah.
So I know that there's that, and we've known that Marines in the U.S. and Special Forces have been using it apparently for decades.
Yeah.
and then you're talking about yoga and breathwork being an arm, but are there many different types of conscious breathwork then? Like, are there actually like different types for different needs? Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So in the yoga philosophy, there's, you know, if you go back into different ways, each nostril again correlates to different sides of our nervous system. So breathing in through the right nostril will increase activity, you know, energy. Breathing in through the left nostril or out, anytime you're sort of activating the left nostril, will increase the relaxation response. So each of the nostrils will correspond to an activating or a more restful kind of state. Different types of breathing will have a different response to your nervous system. So one might be more activating, one's going to be more relaxing. One might be toning the nervous system in a certain way, right? So like strengthening a certain response. One might be more cooling. So there's ones where you breathe through your mouth and you kind of suck the air in through your tongue. And that's a very cooling breath. So it helps to reduce acidity in your body and in your stomach. It helps to decrease, like if you have a fever, you're experiencing a lot of heat, it helps to decrease the heat in the body. So all of these practices, like the ancient yogic practices, they're related and correspond to something called Ayurveda. Ayurveda is like the traditional medicine in India. And it talks about sort of these different qualities, like heating qualities, cooling qualities, acidic qualities, right? All these different ways that our body might show up, and it's reducing or helping to increase our ability to create balance or homeostasis. But even since the pranayama, you know, there's other types of breath work out there that are a little bit more modern. So many people might be familiar with holotropic breathing, which was created by Stan and Christina Grof in the 70s. And this is more about sort of like opening awareness and like expansion of mind. And it's a lot of a bit more like hyperventilating, and it does something sort of interesting. It's in and out through the mouth. And it does something very interesting to helping you clear some of the blocks, maybe like reset some of the mental patterns in your mind. There's also Wim Hof breathing, which is a type of breath work. Of course, many people will be familiar with the Iceman. And he also uses something a little bit similar, a type of hyperventilation to create an acute stress in the body. And when your body responds to acute stress, he's sort of like hyperoxygenating your blood through the breath. And then you do a long breath retention. And when you do that, your body's able to then absorb more oxygen by holding the breath, because right away it's exchanging the oxygen and carbon dioxide. And there's been some interesting results. He's also done a lot of different scientific experiments with increasing immunity and not being so sensitive to like the changes of hot and cold and things like that, right? Increased energy, improved circulation. So there's that type of breath work as well. There's box breathing, which you mentioned, that's actually, you know, stemming from sort of a pranayama practice as well, creating equal inhalation, exhalation, and holding at the top and the bottom. In yogic language, they would call it sama vritti pranayama. So vritti is the movements. Sama means even. So even movements of the breath. And there's other types of practices where you inhale, pause, inhale, pause, inhale, pause, inhale, pause, exhale, you know, and so you're cutting the breath at different points in the practice. And that again is going to help to train your lung capacity so that you can take in more breath, also growing the amount of time that you're holding the breath. That also has a lot of benefits as well. The main thing is that you don't try and do too much too soon, I would say. So there are some dangers to breath work and pranayama. And I've heard from a lot of people like that they experience some anxiety when they start doing different breath work practices. And that's always to me a sign that you're doing too much too soon, or maybe that practice isn't for you, especially at that time in your life. It's really important to learn from a qualified teacher, someone who knows what they're doing and what they're talking about. And there's a lot of teachers out there that are teaching breathwork now. So you kind of have to do your research to really figure out how much they know and how much they've really learned about using the breath to create health or to balance the nervous system. Because when you are doing these practices, you're directly influencing your nervous system. And so for good or ill, you're influencing your nervous system. So what I would say to someone who's just starting out is to make sure that you're always feeling very nourished and relaxed and in a good space after a breathwork practice. If you're feeling more stressed out, or even later in the day, you feel like you're not adapting to life or stressful situations very well, that could be a sign that you're doing too much too soon. So either you're trying to hold the breath for too long, or there's something going on in your practice that isn't helping you. And that's the antithesis of a good breathwork practice, right? You want the practice to leave you in a place where you're more relaxed, your nervous system's able to actually come down from that chronic stressed place. And also, it feels really good. It feels like it's moving towards meditation. It should be something that makes meditation very easy. You know, you're sitting in that really good space and you just want to be there and stay there, rather than like, I'm so glad that's over. Please don't make me ever do that again.
Do you know, I think that's such a really important point that you have just raised, though, because I didn't start yoga for a long time. And I'm interested in the history and learning more. And like right away, you know, you've got me on this. I'm already thinking there's eight arms. I have to learn all about this, but I don't necessarily have a lot of time right now. And for me, pacing myself. So for a long time, people were like, you should really do yoga. And now I know why they were recommending it for me. And I think that there might be some people who could really benefit from learning more about yoga and about breath work in particular. And maybe I shouldn't speak for others, but for myself, I have had a reputation in the past of having maybe a few dozen like type A tendencies. So if you told me that the goal is like 30 seconds, I want to do that by the end of the first practice.
Yeah.
I mean, and what I've actually come to understand is that actually creates a stress response in us. And so it's actually harming me because I'm almost weaponizing breath work.
Yeah.
I'm turning it against myself. Instead of using it for the benefit to help self-regulate, I'm trying to control it, but with more of that capital C control, where I'm trying to control it to achieve some metric, as opposed to, and you're saying, okay, so let's create some space. Let's listen to our body a little bit, and let's not aim for some goals, but just like, if you're not feeling good after, maybe reevaluate, take a look at like, what were you trying to get out of that?
Yeah. That's, I think that's a tricky thing because in our society, you know, we're kind of taught more is better, right? And that the more advanced you are, the more benefits there are, you know, a perceived advancement, you know, and in breathwork or pranayama, it's not really the case. More is sometimes just more. Yeah. And more advanced is sometimes detrimental, right? So it's really about finding, and I put advanced in quotes because advanced is really about meeting yourself where you're at and being with yourself, however you are in that moment, and then adapting your practice so that you're going to get the most benefit from that practice as you are that day in that moment. That's advanced. Mm-hmm. That's an advanced practice, is knowing how much you need and not doing more or less. And so I think in our society, we tend to think, well, advanced means this definition, you know, hold your breath for 2 minutes or, you know,
that's an option. Like you shouldn't have even said that. Now I'm like, that's an option. I can hold my, sorry.
Or practice yoga for 2 hours or, you know, do a breathwork practice that's going to take an hour or, right, do more rounds of a particular breathwork or whatever kind of baseline or goal we think that is, we've defined success by, but really success is actually about being honest with your capacity and meeting yourself with where you're at and then treating yourself the way that's going to be the most nourishing and beneficial to your nervous system. Otherwise, why do it? There's so many better ways to spend your time. I mean, do you know?
Yeah. I had this question that I wanted to ask you, and now I think I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to ask it anyway and just say, do you believe that there is any one breathwork practice that we could all benefit from using?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're going to bring conscious awareness to your breath, you're going to benefit. So I'm just going to like put that straight out there, you know, and taking 2 minutes and just watching your inhale and observing how long you're inhaling for, and then trying to lengthen your exhale, I think is probably the simplest, most beneficial practice. Like it's so simple. It's so safe. You're never going to overextend your capacity doing it, but just inhaling through your nose, exhaling through your nose, and lengthening your exhale to be twice as long as your inhale. There's been a lot of studies done around resonance breathing, which, you know, is a little bit different than just lengthening to be double. But I think the simplest rule is lengthen your exhale to be double, and it toning your vagus nerve, which is your relaxation response. So it's like the brakes to your stress response. That's what the vagus nerve does. It helps your body to relax after stress. So it helps to strengthen this nerve and activate it so that you can come down and back into your body after stress occurs, whether it's acute stress or chronic stress. It also helps to increase that heart rate variability, which is a very good thing, which means your heart is functioning at optimum performance. It also allows the mind to calm down so that you can focus better, increase clarity, increase creativity, increase connection. It's really, really simple. And it's just lengthening that exhale. And I mean, it doesn't take long, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, I think is really, really beneficial. I think box breathing, I like to call it actually triangle breath because where people often find the most stress is on that exhale retention. So when you're exhaling and then you have to hold your breath out, that can be very physiologically stressful for people. And so I think when you inhale, you could hold at the top for about the same length as your inhale. So you have even sides, and then again, exhale and make that exhale double the length of your inhale. So it's kind of like a wide base triangle, right? You're inhaling, pause, and then exhale for double. So your exhale will be basically the same length as your inhale and the hold together, right? So if you're inhaling for 4, hold for 4, exhale for 8. And I have actually a free download that if people want to be guided through this practice, they can download it from my website for free. And it's just an audio. You can play it. And it is very simple guide through this type of breath. which again, I think is very healing, very relaxing. It's very safe. You can do it anytime. You can do it driving. You can do it eyes open, eyes closed. But it's a really good reset for your nervous system.
Okay, I'm definitely downloading that. And we'll have your website in the show notes. So after everyone's listened, if you want, just hop into the show notes and give a click and hop over to Harmony's page to find that. Because I'm interested in that. I told you the story about doing the box breathing, but I actually found like it was too much. People usually count to four.
Yeah.
And it was too much. And I would rather count slowly because the cadence of my voice was very important to try. And and I felt like if I'm counting to four so that she can actually make it really fast. So I actually did it three.
Yeah.
Just to try and get her to regulate. And so that I could count slowly, like one, two, three. It's also that internal voice that we have when we're doing breath work ourselves. Mm-hmm. That it's, or whether somebody's counting for you, that matters.
Yeah.
Whether or not you create a sense of urgency and I've got to get to the end of this really quickly, or just let it go.
Yeah. And I always like to use like an external sound. So either like a metronome or the second hand of a ticking clock, you know, something that's objective, because it is true. We will count faster or slower depending on our emotional response to things, right? So if you have a really busy day, you're probably going to count a lot faster than if you're just like, oh, I just want to be here and enjoy this moment and I have all day long. So if you want to like be very scientific and precise about it, using an external objective measuring source or sound is really helpful.
I have a little too much elementary school piano drama attached to a metronome. So that wouldn't be a soothing sound. And I'm okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. If I'm not right on the second, it's okay. So, but what I'm hearing with this, I love this idea of this triangle. And it's very simple to me. And even as you were talking, I was like, oh, I'm feeling calmer because I was being conscious of exhaling longer while I'm listening to you. And I could really feel the change happening in my body when I was doing that. So that sounds like a great way for stress relief. And I'm wondering, would it also help somebody? Because you'd mentioned like sleep disruption, how sometimes the habits of breathing, the shallow breathing, the rapid breathing, how it can have effects on us because we're in this heightened state. And then that in turn disrupts our sleep. And I feel like so many of my friends are really struggling with sleep. And I started doing like a meditation before sleep that sort of it's supposed to go into sleep. And it's been life-changing for me, but I'm thinking maybe breath work could do sort of the same thing. Does it? Would that help with getting people to sleep?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. It'll definitely help with sleeping. You can even do it lying in bed. Another one you can do is inhale through your nose, and then exhale through your lips or your mouth with a little bit pursed lips, and just make your exhale as long as possible. Another breathwork exercise you could do before bed, either sitting down or lying down, would be the humming bee breath. It's called Brahmari in Sanskrit. And so again, this is another one where you're inhaling through your nose and you're exhaling with the humming sound. And it should be a soothing sound, not like a harsh sound, but it should be like the, like as if you were eating something really delicious, you know, and you're like, like a sound, a good sound, right? A tasty sound. You want to do that for as long as possible again. So just like, you don't have to count, you don't have to think about timing, but just really extending that exhale for as long as possible. That's a really great one to do. If you're having some trouble sleeping, you can just lie there and take a deep inhale and then just slow the exhale down and make it as long as you possibly can.
I don't think I've ever heard of this
the
breathing
one,
the humming bee, but here's the amazing thing. I thought it was the craziest thing. That's what I did through all three labors. I had very long labors with my babies. Yeah. And one of the things was that I'd inhale and then like just hum and just was so soothing for me.
Yeah. On it's very day two. On day two. Oh, gosh. That's a story.
That's another podcast episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other beautiful thing is when you hum, so humming and gargling also stimulates the vagus nerve. And so that humming sound, that vibration of the vocal cords is very relaxing and soothing and calming for us. And so it's, wow. You know, it doesn't have to be that loud. It can be soft. You know, it should just be something that feels like good. It's also one of the first sounds we make as humans, right? So what's usually the first word that babies say? Mama.
Yeah.
It's our first, it's the first sound of language really is the sound. And so it's something that's very, I think, primal to us. It's very in us, innate, that humming sound being something that's soothing. I always explain it as the of the om, right? And it's also why om, om, and, you know, all these different sacred sounds always tend to have this component.
So I know that you're a mom.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, we've already talked about all these different stages of life when basically we're born, we start breathing. But when breath work, like I talked about how it helped my daughter who was, you know, late teens, I did through labor and later in life, let's call me midlife. I'm going to live really long. with sleep disruption, like it seems like it's all ages can really benefit from breath work. You have a child. Have you started breath work with your child?
I mean, he's kind of growing up in the, it's sort of like the water he swims in, you know. He grew up in a yoga studio for his early years. And I mean, now he goes to school, but he's, you know, his dad's a yoga teacher. His mom's a yoga teacher. He's sort of like very much in the realm of yoga. So I don't think I've like consciously really like sat down and given him instructions or lessons, but it's something that he definitely knows about. And he was feeling very anxious about a dentist appointment. And I dropped him off at the dentist. I had to go and park the car. And I came into the dentist's office. And he's sitting there in lotus on the floor breathing and like focusing on his breath. And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, he just came in and sat over there.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. So he definitely, you know, I think knows some of these practices, whether he's overheard us talking about it. I mean, he's seen us doing our own pranayama breathwork practices. So, I mean, children absorb what they're around too. So, you know, he's never really said, what should I do for this problem? Because, you know, he's my son and he's sort of just like, mom, you're super annoying. But when it comes down to it, I think he's absorbed some lessons along the way.
That super annoying is going to turn into, you are so awesome.
Thank you.
It will.
I hope so.
You just got to get through those years. Guarantee you.
I'm in them for sure.
Oh, that's amazing. So he's kind of, like you said, he's been swimming in these waters. Yeah. And you did talk about a little bit earlier about how not all practices are right for people, but is there ever a time in somebody's life that breath work could be harmful?
I mean, I think as long as you're approaching it in a way that's very safe, so you're not, you know, the things that are probably the most harmful are long breath retention. So either inhale or exhale retentions when you're holding the breath and you're trying to hold for long periods, those would be things that could disrupt your nervous system and the balance a little bit. Anything that's just sort of like inhaling and exhaling, bringing conscious awareness to the breath or lengthening the exhale, deepening the inhale, those types of things without any retentions are pretty safe. I would say any practice that is involving some type of hyperventilation, so like maybe the holotropic breathing or the Wim Hof breathing, you know, there's certain conditions or things. If you have anxiety, it might actually exacerbate your anxiety feelings because you are actually hyperventilating.
So
it can create an adverse response. Some people are fine. Also, if you have asthma, anytime you're doing fast breathing, I would say have a little more caution with that. compared to slow breathing. So slow breathing is typically always safe. Fast breathing can sometimes induce certain physiological responses that might not be what you're looking for, right? Because it's creating a stress response in your body. So it's like when you go for a run, your breath becomes faster. Running isn't relaxing. I mean, you might feel relaxed after when you stop running, but while you're running, it's creating a stress response in your body. And it's not that all stress responses are bad. Some are very good, right? So it's creating an acute stress response, which is very healthy, especially if you can relax after, right? So you're training your body to, okay, I'm having stress, I'm responding to the stress, and now I'm relaxing after and it's gone. And so you're creating that versatility in your nervous system response, but you'll notice your breath is also kind of changing while you're going through that process as well. And so if you just sit down and you're already feeling anxious or upset, like with your daughter, you know, if she was in that car accident and she's feeling really like mentally, emotionally distressed. And then if you were like, okay, well, quicken your, let's breathe a little faster, right?
Yeah.
You're getting her to like breathe faster. That's going to not be helpful, right? So you were teaching her how to slow her breath down, which is super helpful. And so that's would be sort of my words of caution, is the fast breathing or long breath retentions can sometimes create adverse reactions. Slow breathing, conscious awareness of your breath is probably always pretty safe.
Yeah.
There's one really beautiful thing for parents out there, because you are talking about with kids, there's something called starfish breathing. And if you put one hand, so say your left hand out in front of you, and you spread the fingers wide like a star, right? And you take, say, the right index finger, and you're going to place it at the base of your left thumb, and you're going to inhale, breathing up to the tip of the thumb, and then exhale, go down to the inside of the thumb between the thumb and the first finger, and then inhale up to the pointer finger to the top. Exhale down into the valley, inhale up to the middle finger, exhale down into the valley, inhale to the ring finger, exhale down into the valley, inhale up to the pinky finger, exhale down to the outside edge of your hand, and then you can go back in the opposite way, inhaling and exhaling, following the shape of your hand. And this is, kids find this really enjoyable because it's somatic as well. You can feel the one finger tracing the outline of the extended hand. And it's also becoming aware and conscious of your breath and controlling your breath, because you're controlling the inhale and the exhale to go with how you are drawing or tracing the outline of your hand. And so it's a really calming practice for, I mean, children of all ages.
Yeah, I've seen that happening in like preschool settings.
Yeah.
And it really helps if you ask a child to focus on their breath, then I can imagine there's going to be a lot of like holding of the breath, seeing how long I can hold the breath. And it's a very abstract concept to actually think about focusing on your breath. So this whole idea, like what Harmony was saying, was, you know, you have your hand with your fingers splayed apart and you're tracing out, like with a finger on the opposite hand, you're tracing up and down the fingers, and that's the in and out of the breath. So the physical act of the tracing and the focusing on my breath is, I'm exhaling as I'm going down the side of the finger, I'm inhaling on the way up. And it's visual, it's tactile, and it helps them focus on their breath. And I think I'd completely forgotten about that, but I'd actually seen that being used in like a preschool setting. And it is something that a three-year-old can do, pause and focus on that, because it's very tangible. It's not so abstract as this concept of breath.
Yeah, exactly. The breath is something that, like we can consciously take control of, but I often say it's the grossest, subtlest aspect of ourself, right? Because we can feel it, Hopefully we're not smelling it, but we can smell it, you know. Mm-hmm. We can pay attention to it, but it's so subtle because we can't really see it unless it's, you know, Canada and minus 20 or 30 out. But it's something that we have to, like, it's sort of the first really subtle aspect of ourselves that we can become conscious of, that starts to then take us into even more subtle sensations, right? So then maybe you start to become aware of the feeling of the breath as it's entering the nostrils, right? But just to like go straight mm-hmm. to that can sometimes be difficult. So that's where, you know, yoga asana, you're stretching your body, you're using your breath simultaneously at the same time, right? You're saying inhale, arms up, exhale, fold forward. Inhale, step back, exhale, lower down, right? So you're using the breath with these big movements of your body. The same thing with this starfish breathing where you're tracing the hand, you know, you're using the breath with the sensation of the one finger moving against the ridges of your fingers, your phalanges on the opposite hand. It gives you something to focus on that's a little bit more tangible than just this invisible breath that we can feel. But our brains, especially if they're not used to focusing on really subtle aspects of ourselves, probably will, you know, be taking a vacation in Hawaii within the first 30 seconds of trying to focus mm-hmm. on the breath.
Meditation is still, it's such a challenge for me. And that's also with breath work and why while I am not a frequent practicer of it. Mm-hmm. When I do enjoy it is when there's more of a guided meditation where they're also guiding me through breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you can listen to the instructions and then do what you're hearing the teacher or the instructor tell you to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, am I ever going to get out of the beginner level? And I'm okay with that. I mean, it actually sometimes can cause anxiety and stress in me of, am I doing this right? Am I forgetting something? Is this what I was supposed to do? Whereas for me, it's less stressful to just completely turn myself over to a recording or to an instructor and to just follow, and to let myself just follow and be led.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
100%. So I know that people are going to get so much from this because I've already got so much from this. So I'm just hoping that everybody else did. But for somebody who's maybe not practiced breath work at all before, mm-hmm. and well, first, they've got your link in the show notes here. So that's going to be a great resource. But what would you say if somebody's really just absolutely hasn't done breath work, they've listened to this, they're kind of like, this sounds really interesting. I think this could be something that could really help me at this stage in my life. What should be the very first thing that they should do?
So probably the very first practice would just be inhaling, counting how long you can inhale, whether it's 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, and then exhale through your nose and try to lengthen that exhale. So if you're inhaling for 2 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds. If you're inhaling for 3 seconds, exhale for 6 seconds. That would just become the first aspect of like controlling the breath, right? So you're teaching yourself how to lengthen and extend the exhale breath. And then for a little bit more of a relaxing practice, you could do that humming bee breath that we talked about, where you're just inhaling mm-hmm. through your nose and exhaling with that humming sound for as long as you possibly can. And repeating that maybe 10 times. So 10 breaths of those simple inhale, exhale, double, and then 10 of the humming bee breaths. And then you can just sit there in that beautiful vibration, because you'll feel the vibration throughout your body if you do that practice of the humming bee breath 10 times. And it'll feel very relaxing. It easily moves you into a more meditative state. So then even just sitting and observing sort of the subtle sensation in your body or what you might notice from doing that practice, it's a very relaxing way to start your day. It's very easy. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. You can't do it wrong. And you can also even do it at night too, right? Like we talked about, before you go to bed, or even if you're in bed or if you wake up in the middle of the night, just, you know, hopefully your partner's sound asleep. If you're sleeping with someone, you could do that little, like, that nice humming sound and just allow yourself to really feel the vibration and have it relax your entire body.
I just want to go do that right now.
You should. As soon as we finish here, you can do it.
Exactly. Oh yeah. My gosh. Harmony, it's such an honor to have you on the podcast. I'm so glad that we could make some time in between. Like, listeners, you don't understand. This woman is hard to peg down. I had to book this months ago, and you just got back from India, right? And you're off to Tenerife next.
I am, yes.
This woman is in
teach a yoga retreat in Tenerife.
Oh my gosh. Like, Harmony, you're in demand globally. And I feel so blessed to have you in my circle and that you would take the time to join us today.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I hope that listeners got something out of it. And if they have any questions at all, they can reach out to me on Instagram at Harmony Slater Official or on my website at harmonyslater.com. And if you want to download that 2-minute free breathwork practice, it's right there on my homepage. And yeah, if you want to learn more about breathwork, they can always sign up for my ancient breathing course. It's an entire 6-week program that's video modules, audios as well. So you can listen to the practices as well as watch videos, PDFs, and live classes as well. So it's all there within the program. And it's a very, very comprehensive training on breathwork practices, on specifically pranayama practices that are the ancient practices that came from India.
That's amazing. I think that's a great offering and a great opportunity for anybody who wants to reach out and learn more about that. And that's all easily accessible on your website?
Yep, it's all there.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to the next time that I get to see you in person.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Hopefully.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of Happy-ish. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and I can promise you more content like this. But don't keep it to yourself, share it with a friend. So until next time, keep your curiosity alive, spread kindness wherever you go, and never forget that you are the author of your story.
This has been an Awkward Sage production.